Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Hagman Report Live. That's Hagman Report. I'm sorry, HagmanReport.com. What am I saying? I don't know. That'll work too, but HagmanReport.com. That's where to go. Click on the banner on top. And on the banner, you'll see the link to our video and audio page by date. And there you go. There you go. That's where to watch us. We're also on Roku. 3.5 million downloads in January, 2.9 million downloads month to date. So we're on par, if not a little bit ahead of January. And don't forget, January's got a few more days than February. So that's pretty good. I want to thank everyone for your support, your generous support and, of this platform so we can keep bringing you the truth. Randy Taylor with me, of course, riding a shotgun the first hour. We're going to get into a lot of stuff. You know, I was watching press conferences over the last couple of days, Jen Psaki. Now, her name is spelled P-S-A-K-I. Remember, the P in Psaki is silent as it is silent in President Joe Biden. All right. Again, welcome everyone. It's Tuesday, the 23rd day of February, 2021, day 35. America held hostage the communist occupation of Washington, D.C., day number 47. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I'm going to tell you this. We are not going to go gently into that bloody collectivist good night. Boy, talk about screwing up a very profound statement. We will not go gently into that bloody collectivist good night. We will defy every illegal, unconstitutional order and every person. We will demand that the voter irregularities, voter fraud and election fraud be addressed. We cannot go beyond November 3rd. We must hold the people in I'm
really
angry because Pennsylvania, the GOP, the Republican Party. You know why I'm not okay? I'm angry. The GOP
won't do crap.
Won't, exactly. Act 77 is a direct assault on Pennsylvania's constitution and the constitution of the United States and the Republican Party, so-called Republican. And look, I get it. It's a uniparty. It's the globalist elite versus us. But they won't do anything, and they're just hands off. Act 77, which changed the complexion of the election in 2020, the down votes, they're not doing anything. And thanks for asking if I was all right. Yeah, you know, it's so mind blowing and so mind boggling because this against the backdrop of the FBI continuing to search for the protesters from January 6th. And when you look at the federal charges, Conservative Treehouse had a great article on this done by Sundance. When you look at the federal charges, listen to this. Federal charges include assault on the media. Okay. When you look at the Chinese, the Iranian, the Russian state police, the FBI, they're giving them a run for their money. This, according to Sundance and Conservative Treehouse. Apparently, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, that is the U.S. version of the state police enforcement units, have found the cause they really care about and are committed about. Finding every person who attended the Capitol Hill protests on January 6, 2021, and of course, those who supported the same. This is out of something straight out of Orwell's 1984 warning. The FBI is literally calling their effort a hunt for America's most wanted. Okay? Think about that, because words in this case matter. Go back to 2016. We talked about the phrase fake news, how that would be weaponized against conservatives, and it has been. Anyone who doubts the efficacy of the vaccine, anyone who doubts the numbers of the true coronavirus death numbers. Look, there have been deaths, just as there in the past have been flu deaths, deaths from the flu or complications because of the flu. But right now, Fauci's saying, hey, 500,000 in the United States. We know that number is overstated. It's inflated. We do know that. But getting back to this Orwellian FBI search for America's most wanted, that's you and I. FBI New York tweet from, this was from, this would have been yesterday, last night. Yeah, or yesterday afternoon. Earlier today, this is a tweet now, FBI New York. Thomas Webster was taken into custody for his role in the riot and assault on the Capitol. As we continue to assist our colleagues, FBI, WFO, bring those responsible to justice. So when you look at this, they are looking to find actionable legal violations for which this activist, Department of Justice, and if you haven't seen the hearings for Merrick Garland as Attorney General. He's not sure of anything. He's not even sure. He's not sure if crossing the border illegally is a crime. He's not sure. The only thing he's sure about is that there was this armed insurrection at the Capitol, which I haven't seen anyone charged with bearing arms. Consider 50 FBI agents were assigned to the Trump-Russia collusion investigation. 13 agents were assigned to investigate a garage door pull at NASCAR. Remember that? How many FBI agents are allocated to find those people who attended the protest at the nation's capital? All right, one more thing. And in fact, let me do this. Randy Taylor, how are you today?
Yes, my name is Randy Taylor, and I would like to enter a plea of guilty as charged of everything Doug just spoke of.
Crazy, isn't it?
This is insane. This is insane. This is like we're the Jews and we're in Germany or something. We're being persecuted. We're being hunted down, tracked down. Doesn't matter where we hide, what we do, they're coming. Hey, so be it. You want to come? I'm going to be a handful for you. Okay? Kicking and screaming. You're going to try and take me somewhere? Don't think I'm going to stay long, okay? If you think you're going to lock me up somewhere, you don't know me. I promise you. I will do the Hagman Report on the run.
this whole thing. We're beaming on the signal.
Yeah, you'll see me from hotel rooms, you know. What we need to do, Doug, is I was thinking about, we need to sell Hagman Report duct tape. Right? Sell it right on the site. Because as people listen to this, I know that they want to wrap duct tape around their heads so their heads don't explode.
Yeah.
Because this is insane. I get up every day and I pray. Listen, I pray for my country. I pray for two countries. USA and Canada.
Yeah, you got family up there.
I have vested interest in both.
Yeah.
Okay. I've paid taxes in both. I you know what? I just cannot wrap my head around what's going on. And I pray every day for these countries. Every night before I go to bed, we pray at dinner. We pray, pray, pray.
Yep.
And I get up and what, and then the news pops up. You know, they want little kids and sex changes and this over here. And then I sit here and I see the two-sided tier system, the public, how Maxine Waters and these people and Kamala Harris, they can all call for violence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. But let a conservative even send out a bad tweet and they're in trouble. I mean, they've got FBI cyber units monitoring Twitter for people that say bad things. I don't understand what's going on. It's like I'm in a bad dream.
You know,
and I can't get out of it. I'm trying to wake up and I just can't get there.
Well,
and Doug, it's on the very edge of really pissing me off.
Well, I think that's in my rear view mirror.
Let's start with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I know you're long past that.
Oh, yeah.
You know me for 20 years. I'm slow to anger.
Yep.
I'm right there.
But watch out. You know, once that line is crossed,
with
Randy Taylor. Yeah.
Man.
Well, you know something? Here's a question I have for the Department of Justice. Remember the thousands plus affidavits that were signed alleging voter and election fraud? Remember those? You remember those?
Yeah, that was in the distant recent past.
It seems like a century ago, but
yeah, okay.
So now hold on a second here. When you look at who the FBI is going after and charging, and who the Department of Justice is prosecuting, I have a question. It would seem to me that if there was no voter or election fraud, all of those affidavits would be called into question. As a matter of fact, called into criminal investigation. So why isn't the Department of Justice or FBI charging or at least investigating the signed under oath criminal perjury statements by the thousands of people who signed those papers?
Yeah, it's like filing a false police report.
I mean, it's right there. It's just, hey, Rudy, I need that book. Why, you're going to finally? Yeah, we're going to investigate. Charge them all. Go ahead.
Yeah.
But they're not. It.
No.
So why is that? Why is that? Well,
orders. They're on orders from above, man.
But see, because they can't get them on perjury charges, because that would open up a whole big can of whoop butt. Okay.
Yes, somebody would actually have to look into it.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid.
So at least, and you know this from investigations and such, that you can make videos look any way you want them. I mean, I've testified in court on videos, and I've said this is what you're seeing, and I've convinced juries this is what you're seeing. Is that what they saw? Yeah, it's open for interpretation at some point, but I said this is what you're seeing, and that's what's happening here with what's going on with the Capitol. Hey, mm-hmm. This is what you're seeing. Now, you saw 14 block long people who were singing, praying, and holding hands. You saw just a handful of Antifa supporters and operatives, doing bad stuff at the Capitol. And you saw Trump supporters stopping or trying to stop that. Remember that one guy yelling at the Capitol police officer, why in the hell aren't you stopping this? Why aren't you stopping this? Meaning busting the windows. Call backup. Call, do something. And I want to know when Nancy Pelosi, what she knew and when she knew it. Okay, I want to know exactly when Pelosi, or what Pelosi knew and when she knew it. Same with AOC, she was in the Cannon office building, and the pounding she heard that scared her to death as she was peeing herself underneath her desk, tweeting whatever out. That was a Capitol police officer just checking to make sure everything was all right. Mm-hmm. But you'll never hear this on CNN or MSNBC.
Now, what about also something that I read somewhere, and I also heard it, someone say it, one of these pundits on TV, that the panic buttons in every one of the offices had been deactivated individually, not as a whole, but someone had gone into each office of every politician and deactivated these panic alarm buttons. How would that even be possible?
That would take some knowledge.
That would take some knowledge, yeah, and some serious access.
And some serious lead time, I believe, if you're going to, yeah, do it all at once. Or a central station, which, you know, hey, that could very well be.
And from the time that it was decided that there was going to be a march or a rally in D.C. to the time it was actually executed, there wasn't enough time to go in and deactivate these buttons. There wasn't enough time to do half of the crap they're talking about.
That's right.
It's like the pipe bombs. One is at the DNC headquarters and the other one's at the Republican headquarters. Really?
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? I'll tell Washington today, I'll tell the FBI this, which we know you're watching. I'll tell the FBI this.
Oh, they're watching.
We know they are. The Justice Department. I almost wasn't able to come on today because my internet's being screwed with so bad. It has nothing to do with the neighborhood because my neighbor's internet is fine. Same company. But the problem is the federal government.
Yep.
Absolutely. Something is seriously. There was a time, folks, that the FBI was a good outfit. There really was. And you have to, all I can do is ask you. I know that a lot of people, you're not endorsing the FBI. No, listen. I worked with them when they were a good outfit, not as an official FBI employee. They used to be a good outfit. But even then, towards the end of the 8 or 9 years that I worked with them, I started to see the changes. And the changes were at the top, not at the bottom. You started seeing the changes at the top. And it's just really erupted into this large, full scale. They are now, it's very similar to a Russian secret service organization, you know, a secret police, or what you would have in China. Things are getting there. What's happened is they've become political. FBI was never supposed to be political. Anybody that sat there and listened to Comey during all of Trump's tenure knows the FBI had become political. If you don't, you need to go back and just look up Comey and start listening to the videos. There's no doubt. They were supposed to be a neutral law enforcement investigation unit. That's what the FBI is. They're not spies. They're not supposed to. They're the law enforcement arm. And they are all so far off track that now you would be stupid to pick up the phone and call the FBI about anything, because they're going to take your phone call and manipulate it into anything they want. And you know what? You find yourself charged with something. It's gone crazy. This horse is out of the corral and I don't see it coming back. You would literally have to completely dismantle that entire bureau and start over. I mean, with a new name and everything. I'm talking get out of the building. The FBI is done as far as a legitimate law enforcement agency. Now, Doug, I'm sure you'd agree with that.
Not only get out of the building, fumigate it, and then burn it down.
Every trace of it has got to go. Yeah. I mean, we have got their focus. They're focused on some crap that happened on the 6th. Why don't you focus on child trafficking? Why don't you focus on the tons and tons of drugs and weapons now that are flowing across that border because nobody cares about that wall?
No one cares about it.
We got bigger problems here than what happened on the 6th. What happened on the 6th, and the FBI needs to understand this. Justice Department needs to understand this. Congress and the Senate. Go ahead and play it in Congress, okay? If they wanted to hurt you, you wouldn't be there today.
Yep. No, that's very, 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 very.
Please be advised. True. There was a 500,000 to 750,000 people out there. Hey, come on now. You said you were scared and this and that. And don't tell me that a few Capitol police officers stopped this raging mob because the math doesn't even work. I don't care who you are. 750,000 people come crushing in on you. There'd have been shooting. There would have been, don't even try and tell this story. Because if they wanted to hurt you that day, you would have been hurt. You would be. I don't care what tunnels you ran into, where you went, whatever. If they wanted you, they would have got you. The fact that you're breathing and telling these lies on the floor of the Senate and the floor of Congress about how terribly scared you were, okay,
yep,
indicates your lie. That only further, keep talking. Just go ahead and keep telling those stories because it just drives home the fact that you're lying.
Yep.
That the entire thing was a manufactured crisis. Yep. It was planned by the Democrats. As soon as they knew the people were coming to D.C., they said, we're not going to let this one go to waste. We're going to ram this right up their kazoos.
Do okay? you think, I mean, so, okay, so you, and the more I look at this, because we can't get past, this is January 6th. We can't really get past November 3rd. January 6th was an outgrowth of November 3rd. Yes. Okay, so
a response to right. November 3rd. Yes.
Exactly. Okay, that better stated, actually. Yep. Okay, so when you look at January 6th and the people who were there in support of President Trump, who never incited anyone just to peaceably in the to march to the Capitol to make your voices known, that's no worry. I mean, no problem there. The problem started almost 30 minutes or so prior to him even being done with the speech.
So now
we've got a Capitol surrounded by a fence that should be at the southern border along with razor wire. You've got lawmakers inside this fenced area. And folks, don't tell me that they're to keep the lawmakers in. Enough with that crap, because you know that it's just crap. So I guess what's next? Well, I guess we saw what's next, right? Now the FBI is coming after you and me. And I got a surprise for you coming up, too. This isn't over, because there's something even more nefarious, folks. Hang on. There's something even more nefarious taking place. And Randy Taylor, you don't know about this yet, but yeah, so okay. So we are the enemy. We are domestic terrorists now, right?
According to the FBI, yeah, and according to the lawmakers, yes.
All right.
Extremists, Doug. We're insurgents.
Well, terrorists, I mean, I guess I don't, insurgents, yes.
Terrorists? Insurrectionists, yep. Sir.
Insurrectionists, seditionists, yeah, sure.
We're like the Mujahideen Shura Council.
Right.
We're groups of these horrible, horrible people that, you know, behead people, and we're just awful, Doug. We're just terrible.
Right.
We bomb, you know, yeah.
Now, okay. To show everyone, and Eric the Tech, I sent this to you just a little bit ago, to show you exactly, and Randy Taylor and folks, please pay attention to this, to show you exactly how severe this is and how we're at war. I don't even know how to describe what I'm about to tell you, except to say that fascism is here, and it didn't come from us. There is a website titled TrumpVoterList.org. There it is on your screen. Keeping America honest is the tagline. Help us fight domestic terrorists. Now, the text in here is real simple. Welcome to TrumpVoterList.org. We created this organization to ensure those responsible for the election of Donald Trump can never threaten our nation and freedom again. We're building a list of known Trump voters to be submitted to public officials willing to take action. What the hell kind of action are you going to take for me exercising my friggin' vote? Okay? Join us in ensuring freedom is always freedom always rings. What the hell kind of freedom is this? I'm going to just calm down, because there's an investigation. We've got some things going here, and Randy, we're going to bring you in on this too. You're going to find out about exactly who's behind this. Okay. This is a bunch of crap about our team. We're a diverse group of patriots. Bullshit. You're not patriots.
and people of color. Who gives a damn? Citizenship doesn't hinge upon color. Looking to make a positive difference? What, by creating lists like they did in Nazi Germany? Who are the fascists?
This is insane. This is absolutely insane.
You can tattle. You can actually submit names.
So here, names. And this is all right. Then what our listeners need to do. Let's play along today. Please go to TrumpVoterList.org, and one of your Democrat neighbors that had his Biden sign in his yard, put his name in there. Okay.
That's one way.
They can't disprove it.
Well, they can't. Well, actually, they can.
Nobody's going to go to the effort. Okay.
Yeah, that's very true.
But why not? Why don't we just bury the website?
Well, that's good.
With fake information.
The fascist root, you tell me, ladies and gentlemen, all right, if there was ever a reason for a civil war, exhibit A.
Yep, you're looking at it. Stop and think about this. History, Doug, like you said, the Nazis. This is exactly what you're looking at. This is the purest form of communism.
Yeah, it is.
That's right. What you're seeing right here.
Yep.
Okay. Because I don't care if Mickey Mouse ran for president. If I want to vote for Mickey Mouse, I can vote for Mickey Mouse.
Right.
And if I want to vote for Donald Trump, I can vote for Donald Trump. If I want to vote for Joe Biden, I'll vote for Joe Biden. Because as an American, I have a right to vote for who I want. Doesn't matter. Tom, Dick, or Harry. It doesn't matter. It's my right. People have fought, died. So I can have that right. They've buried friends so you can have that right to vote. So they've screwed up the voting system. And heaven forbid that you should ever challenge that. But we're going to go back. We don't want to go back and take the time to look at the fraud, but we want to go back and look at who voted for who.
Well, they intend to dox these people. By the way, they intend to dox these people.
You know what would be funny is if this website ends up with 125 million names of Trump voters. That I would find hilarious.
That would be good, actually.
Actually, you know what I'm saying?
That would be good.
See where I'm going with this?
I do see where you're going with this.
So folks, start putting the names in.
Gee, I guess Trump won after all, didn't he?
How would you dispute it? You set up the website. You wanted to know who the Trump voters are. Oh, by the way, there were 125 million of them.
That's right. Yes.
Explain that. Right. Listen, we can skin these people, but the very fact, look, I can have this website taken down if I choose to do so.
We Doug, could,
you know, and we, you know we, that we for all, a yes, fact.
Yep, yep.
I have you down by midnight, and every time you try and come up, I'll hit you again. All right, but let me tell you something. The fact that you're there is what I'm going to use to bring you down. That's the problem, is that you would even start a website like this. You want to know what? This is like the snitch website they used to have.
Well, your relationship to the Trump voter, friend, family, acquaintance, none, what?
Yeah. Okay. Remember, Doug, they had the big thing about, and they were exposing police informants, people that were helping bring down drug dealers, criminals. And they started putting their names on websites. People got killed over that.
Yep.
People were murdered over that. You know what's going to happen? Things are going to start happening with this. And the blood is going to be on the hands of the buttheads that took the time to type this out and file for that domain.
Oh, yeah.
You are the fascists. You are the Nazis. You are the tan shirts that you're always whining about. Knock it off with calling us patriot, Christian, conservatives, Nazis, and nationalists. Call me a nationalist. I'm cool with that. But don't call me a Nazi. Don't accuse me of being a communist.
I'm a populist. I'm a nationalist. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And what is wrong with that? You know, in Canada, I'll tell you this, I got family up there. Although a lot of Canadians, because they're pretty laid back liberal types, okay? A lot of Canadians don't like Trump, his policies. But you know what they do dig about him? His love for his country. They'll disagree with a lot of what he has to say. And most of that, honestly, is related to trade, okay? Because Trump actually, President Trump, actually evened out the trade balance to where we weren't giving away our shorts to Canada. And Canada, just plain and simple, survives off the United States.
Yep.
They want to do Canadian made and all this and that. It's too expensive. Okay. And it's horribly expensive just bringing the stuff up from the States.
Right.
It is. It's quite the challenge for trade wise. So, but the point is, there's nothing wrong with being a nationalist. Even a liberal Canadian will tell you, I don't like Trump's policies, but I love that that man loves his country. His patriotism is never questioned.
Well, and that goes for the movement itself. When you think about this, the FBI going after those people at the Capitol, the people at the Capitol were there in support of President Trump. So just like that meme about Trump being in the way of, you know, they're not after me, they're after you. Yeah. I'm just in the way. That is so true because they want to kill, you know what? At first I thought, well, this is a little bit overstated. They want to kill us. No, they want to kill us. They want us dead. They want us out of the picture, out of the way. They don't want to have to deal with us.
Yeah.
I really believe that. So yes, yes, exactly what you said. Yes. What you
well,
said.
Well, even if you go back and remember, Hussein Obama.
Yeah.
And his buddy Ayers there at the Weather Underground. And if you go back and you read the history between those two, Obama should have never been allowed into the White House with his anti-American communist views. Okay. Now, throw the Muslim part in on top of that. That's fine. Let's focus on just the anti-American communist views. All right. And he was all for sacrificing a few for the good of the many. I mean, talking about sacrificing lives. They're talking about death. We're talking about killing people.
Yep.
And it's in writing. It's in writing. It's not like I just, you know, pulled that out of the cabinet to hand it to you. He should have never, with his terrorist ties, he should have never been in the White House. And that is one more thing that tells you that something was wrong with the voting.
Gee.
There was something wrong with the elections.
Hmm.
You know, I used to say to people, presidents aren't elected.
They're selected. Right.
They're, you know, selected and appointed.
Yep.
And people were like, oh, you're crazy. You know, really? I'm crazy? I've said that for 20 years. Because I've looked at the presidential selections. Here's how I looked at it before I was even into politics, before I met Doug, before I really gave a rat's patoot about who was in the White House. Okay. And there was a time in my life that I was more interested in other things. Yeah, I voted and all, but I didn't pay a lot of attention to the politics. But when these people would come up for election, like Bush, McCain, Sarah Palin, and I like Sarah Palin, but I would sit here and I look at these people and I'm like, we're a country of over 300 million people. And that's the best we could come up with.
Really? That's it, precisely.
At a glance, you know, I would just go, this mathematically doesn't make sense. And then you notice it would be a Republican. Then it was a Democrat. Then it was a Republican.
Yep.
Then it was a Democrat. And I can go back to when I was born back when Kennedy was president. Okay. And you sit there and you look at it and it was Republican, Democrat. And this is how it worked. And then the sides grew further and further and further and further apart. I remember because in fifth grade we had a debate. It was McGovern and Nixon.
Yeah, Nixon McGovern.
Yeah. Okay. And we had a debate.
Yep.
And honestly, Doug, there wasn't much to debate about because they were so close to each other on so many things. We were just kids, you know.
Yeah.
And we're digging and digging through newspapers and trying to find stuff. And the biggest things were abortion. That was the biggest thing. And that was a very uncomfortable subject for the teacher in fifth grade, you know. But the lines weren't like they are today. Everybody was more centralist, you know. And people that were Republican would go, you know what, I'm going to vote Democrat this time. Mm. And vice versa. You don't see that anymore. You don't see that anymore. We're not here, baby. We're out here. And you say, well, it's the far right. The far right is simply a response to the far left. The further that the left, the Democrats, have gone from what is a moral compass, we didn't have any choice. We didn't have a choice but to respond. Because deep down inside, I'm a man who's done many things wrong in life. But I don't kill babies. I don't. And I don't think that children should even be talking about sex changes and things like 5 years old. I don't see how it is beneficial to lock kids up and not let them go to school.
Wait, let's not move too far off that sex change.
Okay.
Because I do have something here.
Let it rip, baby. Let's do it.
Now, understand, all right, just like Merrick Garland's being selected and going through the process for Attorney General.
What a clown. Well, sorry, I had to throw that in there.
Exactly.
What a clown.
Now we have Richard Dickless Levine, presumably Dickless. I don't know. And you know what? If you think that's crass, you know what? All right, number one, it's my show. Number two, it is crass because I find the entire selection process of a science denier in the form of Levine crass. Okay. Yeah. I find it crass, but National Pulse, Biden's HHS pick advocates sex changes for kids. This is nothing short of child abuse. This is nothing but child abuse. Look, I don't care if you're 35 and you want to become you want to wear high heels, pantyhose, and not, panties on your head. I don't care. All right. That's your problem. You're an idiot and you got mental problems. But for everything that is holy, for this cousin it, this whatever this is, there are no pronouns in the world to describe this person. None. No pronouns. They don't exist.
That's disgusting.
Okay. Cousin it, maybe. For this, and you folks, you've got to read this article at the National Pulse. And I saw a video. It was Bannon played it on War Room and talking about laughing about tentacles versus testicles and, talking about emancipation of minors. And I wanted to puke. I wanted to throw up in my – you're going to have that making decisions about your health and you're okay with that?
Yep.
What a piece of garbage.
Yeah, and they're doing it to be in line with the rest of the world. The USA is falling. We were the only thing standing between evil and good.
Yeah. Well,
we're falling. We went from with Trump, we started climbing back up from a D to maybe in a C.
And then they slapped us down.
And
like
now we're heading towards F. Okay. Because our grades aren't passing here, and you cannot ethically, morally have some piece of garbage like this making rules for children, not suggestions. These aren't going to be suggestions. These are going to be rules that they're going to implement. Now, I have some things in life I will fight to the death over. One of them happens to be my kids.
Yep.
One of them would be the grandchildren.
Yep.
I will take you down for that. You don't cross those lines with my family. I'm done. You do not leave the kids alone. It's bad enough that you're screwing with us adults and Second Amendment and First Amendment. Now you're going after kids. That makes you no different than the sex trafficker. And guess what? I don't even think they should be breathing. I don't have no use for sex trafficking. I don't understand people that do sex trafficking and get sentences that consist of time. The only sentence you should get is death.
Yes, I agree with that.
Aren't you being hypocritical there?
How so?
Well,
how am I being hypocritical? No.
Come wait a second.
Come mess with my kids.
No. I mean, you want to make sure that the babies, you know, the unwanted babies survive. Okay, you're against death for unwanted children. Yes. They're just clumps of cells, zygotes. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Okay, but yet you're pro death penalty for human and child sex traffickers. Is that what you're telling me? Isn't that a little bit hypocritical there, Randy Taylor?
Nope, not at all.
Why not?
Because that little baby is innocent. Those children are innocent. Those pieces of crap that are being executed in a prison are just taking up space. It's not like they're ever going to be rehabilitated. They can never rejoin society. All we're doing is three hots and a cot for these son of bitches. I say done with it.
Yep. No, I agree.
I'm done. I wish I was the judge because they go, sex trafficking. Okay, you're guilty. I see all the evidence. Go, yep. I want to make sure that the person isn't being falsely accused. Once I have unequivocally that I know they did it, I'd send you to death. And it wouldn't be 10 years from now. I'll Citizen X you. I've never seen that. I love that movie. He leaves the court. He walks down the hall to the shower. Boom. There you go.
And that's right.
End of story. Because I don't even want you writing a letter to somebody talking about you. I don't want you laying in bed thinking about what you did. I just want you gone. Make my world a better place. And I'm sick and tired. That's where we lost the morality. Our moral compass in this country is so far from where it should be.
We need to go Old Testament on these people.
I'm not. Yeah, really. Absolutely. Biblical.
Yeah.
Because this has gone too far. I'm done. This is nuts. This is nuts. And this website, folks, let's do this today. Please amuse me. Go to TrumpVoterList.org and put one of your Democrat neighbors' names in. Okay? If you got time, put in two or three of them. Please, swamp the site. I want them to get some traffic. I'd like to hear about this on the news. I really would. So people, think about it. Take 2 seconds. You guys always, instead of sending me an email today, go to TrumpVoterList.org, then send me an email saying, I did it.
Yeah. There you go.
Please. I want to have some fun today. Okay? It's been a really crappy couple weeks. It's time for a laugh for Randy Taylor. All right? I'm giving you a tailor-made mission. Okay?
Yep.
Go visit. It's legal. The FBI shouldn't be calling. If they do, they'll come to me, so don't worry about it. But please. And anybody can make an honest mistake and think that the guy with the Biden sign was mistaken. He was actually a Republican. So please. Would you just amuse me and do that for me?
But then notice, I want to make it clear, which I'm glad. See, they intend to publicly announce the names, okay? That's one of the options. There's a questionnaire. What would you like us to do with the names? Okay, last I knew, voting for President Donald Trump was not against the law. But what I find interesting, I don't know if you had time to see this or not. Where the heck is it?
Yeah, let's play it.
What I find interesting was, hang on a second here. Where is that? Is this? Again, they plan on doxing people, but here's what they said. Let's see here. they made sure that you can't fool them from something here, or you can't fool them with something. We updated, or we added filters to stop the names of prominent Democrat officials and contributors from being added.
That's fine.
Including a massive word list of misspellings and closely related names.
Even if they validate it, remove it a week from now or never post it, you are going to eat up their time, people. If you just go and post two or three Democrats' names there, please, let's have some fun.
But yes, I agree. I totally agree. But I'm looking at this, Randy Taylor, to me, this is war. These are the enemies of the American people.
They drew first blood.
Right. Now, I'm telling you.
You can't go shoot them, Doug, and you can't go shoot your Democrat neighbors. So put the name on the list, on the website. Let's just start with that for today. That's today's mission. Before I want to send you people out on other missions, I need to know that you can at least go do this one.
There you go. And I'm with you, Randy Taylor. I'll send you an email.
This is harmless response to evil. This is like throwing eggs at the child molester, the registered sex offender that lives on the corner. It's like throwing an egg at his house. Okay?
That's right.
Have at it. Have some fun. If you're out there, you're a hacker and you're bored, and you do what you do best. You have the Taylor stamp of approval.
I love it. Let's bring up let's bring up one thing. One other thing I want to mention is Sidney Powell, Lynn Wood. They of course got knocked down at the Supreme Court yesterday, and the Supreme Court, what a bunch of
that is a travesty.
It really is. Clarence Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch, Thomas. I love Thomas. Clarence Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch. At least coming in okay on this, but then you've got the other four or the other morons that are just morons, in my view, constitutional morons.
And would that include Kavanaugh?
Kavanaugh, too. Yeah. Yeah, that Kavanaugh.
What an ungrateful sack.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. We see where he's falling.
You just bit the hand that fed you, boy.
Right. All right. So now, okay, again, and Justice Thomas, I think, had such a great dissent in there, and folks, you can find it anywhere. But here's the second thing on the prep I sent to you is the elections complaint against, it's against the Dominion complaint against Mike Lindell. And, of course, Mike Lindell was a friend of the program. Brandon House is a friend of mine and a friend of the program. And I've got to say that they're both, obviously, Mike Lindell is the defendant in this case, $1.3 billion lawsuit, civil suit. Brandon House named in here because he's the executive producer of Absolute Proof. And, of course, I've seen this personally, this kind of lawsuit. I've seen this lawsuit. All right. Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood both, but Sidney Powell specifically said, okay, good, you haven't seen nothing yet in terms of, the Supreme Court, you want to hear it? You haven't seen anything yet. So when you look at this, Randy Taylor, when you look at this lawsuit, and Eric the Tech, if you can scroll down a little bit and go through this. Okay, this lawsuit, and I'm not going to go through this line by line. That was done on a podcast yesterday, and I think I can't remember who did this. I listened to so many, but the complaint itself goes after Mike Lindell. It makes fun of, in a sense, Mike Lindell. It's all about Mike Lindell being a failed human being, a scammer of a pillow salesman, and other products. And the fact that this was all done as a scam for money, for donations. There's one section, a very small area, in my view, when you compare it to the rest, that actually addresses the accusations of Dominion. All right? And believe me, okay, ours is coming. Folks, again, you don't get, many people don't understand. ours, what's going to happen against us, it's coming. All right. It, trust me when I tell you, just like we had, we supported Randy, you were on the 3-hour program on the 6th. We supported people at the Capitol. Okay.
Absolutely.
We're going to look unindicted co-conspirators in at the moment. Okay. But folks, let me tell you, it's coming.
So what else is new?
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Make sure you spell my name right.
We didn't have to be there, okay? But see, when you look at this, and Dominion sued Wood and Powell and others. So here's, you know, Randy Taylor, it doesn't matter. You could be clean, clear, and white as the purely newly fallen snow and get sued for, I don't know, get sued for being a drunken whoremonger, okay?
Yep.
The lawsuit can be absolutely bogus. But the problem is yeah, yeah. But there's a problem. You still have to fight it. You still have to divert resources into fighting the lawsuit. And people say, well, I can't wait for discovery. I love that. I can't wait for discovery. That was used on me by some moron that called me a satanic pedophile. I can't wait for discovery.
Okay. Don't get into details here.
No, you know what? That's all right. We won summary judgment, and we're just waiting to see how much we won. Okay.
Yeah. The discovery, a lot of times you discover, this is going to cost me a fortune to fight this frivolous piece of crap.
But yeah, exactly. But see, yeah, people, this is one thing people don't really understand is discovery is kind of narrowly, and I'm not an attorney, so I'm not going to explain this right, but, when they say, oh, I can't wait for discovery, not that Mike Lindell is or anyone else is, but it's rather somewhat narrow to the scope of what's in the lawsuit.
What's relevant? What's relevant?
But
it has to have some kind of substance.
Right. There's got to be a predicate. There's got to be. Yes, exactly. So anyway, I'm looking at this lawsuit and I read this lawsuit and I'm thinking to myself, man, you know, they went after him and, coincidentally, Brandon House, Mary Fanning, platforms that aired Absolute Proof, mm-hmm. but really the lawsuit to me failed to live up to, well, wait a second, they got this wrong and that wrong. And then Randy Taylor, and then I'm going to toss it back to you at this point. Wouldn't it be nice if they had some law enforcement, some Secretary of State, some state legislature, some Department of Justice official on their side, Mike Lindell on his side, to at least show that this is – that they're not wrong, that Mike Lindell's not wrong, that the Jovan Pulitzer, Russell Ramsland,
he has freedom of speech. You know what? This is based on this. If this actually is looked at by a judge and considered valid, then I say that we do a class action suit against Zuckerberg.
Yep.
Because we can dig up every ad. I don't care if it's a county level where a Democrat went after a Republican, said something foul about him or something untrue, which is loaded. We have tons of that. Okay. And take Zuckerberg down for, say, we're looking at what they're guessing what Lindell's worth. So Zuckerberg, I mean, we could hit him for like $100 billion.
Yeah. All the money based, in the world plus 10%.
Based on the same premise that they're going after Lindell for.
Right.
And some judges say, well, you can't do that with Zuckerberg. Really? Then why are you doing it with Lindell?
And that's a really good point.
Because okay. That's hard reality. There's no difference in what you just showed me on the screen from what Zuckerberg did. None. No.
Well, what's even worse with Zuckerberg, with what he did, he and his wife through CTCL infused $400 million into the election process across a couple of states and changed the entire course of history.
And censored an entire platform in favor of the left.
Correct.
That's huge.
Yep.
That's huge.
Yep.
That, when you look at that, That is huge. Like you say, well, I had the right to say that. Well, Lindell's got the right to say that. Well, I had the right to do that. It's my platform. Lindell's got the right.
Yeah.
See, now, this is that two-tier justice system we're talking about.
But some will say, well, it's not correct to make false or erroneous or knowingly false statements about a company, person, machine, whatever. It's you can't do that. Well,
it's immature. I'm sorry. There's enough evidence that this could have been examined. And I'll tell you something, Dominion, and people, I told you, I got two country vested interests, U.S. and Canada.
Yep.
In Canada, up in Canada, Trudeau is looking at calling an election. Now, the politics are different from ours. In a nutshell, if he calls an election and wins, he's in for four more years. He's only halfway through his term now. But if he calls an election, which they can do, he's a minority right now, but he can call an election and go be in for another 4 years. Gee, guess who tabulates the ballots in Canada? Yeah. Oh, they're hand ballots when you vote.
Oh yeah, but there's somebody's gonna
email me. And go, oh, what we do? There are handwritten ballots. That's fine. What do you think counts them? And right. You want to know something really amusing? In downtown Toronto, Dominion, and several offices of the current Liberal Party who are in power in Canada are on the same floor. We're not talking same building. We're talking same floor. Gee, there's nothing going on there. You know, I always want to have my office right down the street, right down the hallway from the person that's going to determine who's going to be in charge in the next 4 years in Canada. So, I mean, hey, do not see the
ballot. Page three. Page three of the lawsuit says plaintiff Dominion Voting System Corporation is a for-profit Ontario corporation with its principal place of business in Toronto, Ontario.
Yes. Yes. So what they're going to do is they're throwing so much flack now down in the States over this. Dominion's going to make such a stink that nobody in Canada is going to go, oh, no, Dominion did something wrong, because they'll be terrified.
Yes.
To do so. People, the voting in these countries, the U.S. and Canada, has got to be cleaned up. Trudeau should not be in office up there. I'm serious. He shouldn't be.
But Dominion was daddy.
Oh, Pierre Trudeau, actually, on paper, yeah.
On paper, but who's this real daddy?
I want you to take a look. And it doesn't take a genius. You can demand this to your six-year-old kid. Take a picture of Fidel Castro.
There you go.
And Justin Trudeau.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. His mom, Maggie Trudeau, she slept with everybody. I'm surprised his daddy ain't Mick Jagger. Seriously, anybody that she went and visited when she was, because she was married to Pierre Trudeau, okay, he was the prime minister, but he was gay.
Roadie for the Stones, man.
Yeah, but anybody that came in, she slept with them. She would she'd go out of town, she'd sleep with them. But when you pull the faces up and his behaviors, well, that is Castro's kid.
Throw out.
Castro's kid. Now we're going to throw a disclaimer on that. I just saw that somewhere on Google. Yes, Google.
Yeah.
So if you got a problem with that, you need to talk to Google. Because I'm just, in that case, do not kill the messenger. The messenger is not the Hagman Report, nor is it Randy Taylor, nor is it Doug Hagman. The messenger is Google. I have an idea. Trudeau, sue Google.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's the ticket.
Yeah, that's the ticket. Oh man, what a circus! What a circus!
But the thing is,
this isn't for laughs and candy and peanuts. This is for our lives, man.
It is, and that's the thing. What I started
the words I was going to use to describe it, I cannot say on this platform.
I think I might have, but I accidentally. But we would, you know, like I said, started out by saying, we are not going to go gently into this bloody collectivist.
No, we're going to hit you where we can, when we can, and it's going to be legal. That's the best part. It's going to be legal, and it's going to be backed by the United States Constitution.
We will always be backed by the United States Constitution. Randy Taylor, you are the man. God bless you, my friend. Thanks for riding shotgun with me. I'm going to cut. We're going to go to Stan Dale. God bless you, my friend.
Right on, brother. Thank you. Please take care.
All right.
Folks, do what Randy Taylor said. And, after you do it, make sure you send him an email saying, hey, I did it. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. I want to thank you for bookmarking HagmanReport.com as well. Get it right back. Stay right where you're at.
The mainstream media won't. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
This is Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. Please bookmark that website. Follow us on Rumble and subscribe to us on Rumble. Please do that as well. We're also on Brighteon. All right. So we upload to Brighteon. We're on Rumble, and of course, you can hear us right here on the Global Star Radio Network. And as I said in the first hour, Conservatory House had this Resistance Day number 35. I call it America Held Hostage Day 35. The quotation within the open thread at Conservatory House attributed to Mike, Vanderbilt. Is this. There is no small thing, or this is no small thing, to restore a republic after it has fallen into corruption. I have studied history for years, and I cannot recall it ever happening. It may be that our task is impossible. Yet, if we do not try, then how will we know it can't be done? And if we do not try, it most certainly won't be done. The Founders' Republic and the larger war for Western civilization will be lost. But I will tell you this, we will not go gently into that bloody collectivist good night. Indeed, we will make with our defiance such a sound as all history from that day forward will be forced to note, even if they despise us in the writing of it. Powerful. Because it is coming. It is coming. The first hour, if you'd missed the first hour, make sure you tune in to the first hour. Today, do we have Stan yet? Yeah. All right. What's that? All right. Couple of things before we go to Stan. EMPShield.com/EMPShield.com. Use Hagman as the promo code, folks. /Hagman. Thanks, Eric the Tech. EMPShield.com/Hagman or EMPShield.com promo code Hagman, folks. You need one of these, or two, or three. And I'm serious when I say multiple. It depends on the size of your building. If you've got a vehicle that you need protected, you know, with computer electronics, you need them. And because, you might say, well, wait a second, if an EMP happens, everything's going to be down. That's true, but your stuff, when things come back online, and not everything 100% necessarily will be down, but your stuff will be protected. That's EMPShield.com, promo code Hagman or /Hagman, two ends on Hagman. But I'm telling you, this is a great sound investment. It's better than an insurance policy. All right. I want to thank Holly Dale for news and headlines of the day. Had it not been for Holly Dale, I would have never known that today is National Dog Biscuit Day. Huh. Again, Holly Dale works very hard, puts up headlines, puts up photos of the day, comics and ponders of the day, and humor. Oh, we need humor more than ever. Videos and such. But yes, today is National Dog Biscuit Day. Now, I'm very fussy about Lady the Studio Dog and Theo as well. Actually, Lady the Studio Dog eats better than I do. And she takes all the nutritional supplements. In fact, Stan and Holly introduced us to Nupro, N-U-P-R-O. Gotta tell you, it's a supplement for dogs. It's a liver gravy, or it's powder that forms into a gravy within the food. And let me tell you something. Lady, the studio dog, as a cattle dog, her coat is just, oh, it's great. And the vet, I'd taken the container in, and the vet looked over the ingredients, and oh yeah, this is great stuff. She's healthy. She loves life. Lady, the studio dog. And I can't believe that she's going to be 7 this year. It's just hard to believe. And Theo, what a great, great little guy he is. So anyway, National Dog Biscuit Day. Thank you, Holly Dale. Stan Deo from standeo.com. I happened to miss the, and I kicked myself. I missed the Patreon meeting he had. Folks, support Stan Deo. Become a Patreon member because you need to, all right? Because the meetings are phenomenal. You learn stuff, okay? You learn things. It's great stuff. Standeo.com. Support Stan on Patreon and such. Stan, how are you, sir?
Good, sir. I was just having a drink out of your nice coffee cup here.
Well, you know, I got to send you new ones and some coffee and stuff as well. But hey, I got a question to ask you. I before I forget, and you can address this whenever. All right, here's my question, and then you can again put it aside, think about it, how you want to answer this. Okay, so we had a vehicle allegedly drop in. Oh my goodness.
Sorry.
Who was that?
That was on I was trying to get the share screen to work while Eric was talking about it, but that was the picture on our show image page today.
Oh, that's okay. Holly's. All right.
That was right. A little dog looking for a biscuit, you know, or boodle as we call it here, but same thing.
Oh my goodness. I'm sorry. I love that. Anyway, you could tell sorry, I'm a dog person. So here's my question, and again, to answer it whenever. Okay, so we sent a roving vehicle to Mars, all right? And we're communicating with this vehicle. I don't see how that's possible. I don't see how communication with that vehicle is possible. If you think about it. Is it possible? And don't say, yeah, it is, because we are. No, you might want to get a little bit more technical. So that's my question. I'm looking at this and thinking, no, wait, because there's a delay, and then there's, aren't there atmospheric issues that we've got to go through, and radiation belts aside, and geosynchronicity, and,
Yeah. Yeah. Look. The first person to actually do radio communication from Mars was Nikola Tesla at the turn of the 20th century. the electromagnetic waves are propagated out through the entire area around wherever you're transmitting from into space. You can make it directional, but the rover, the Perseverance rover at the moment, I'm sure puts first mode transmissions when it's in the right position, saves up the data, and then all of a sudden bursts it out toward us. And a few minutes later, we pick it up. I don't see any problem with that. It's just radio wave technology. There are things that interrupt it, like right now, today, we're having the coronal mass ejection event from the 20th of this month coming from a long valley in the surface of the sun. Let me just see if I can get to that picture here. Oh, come on. Here we go. On slide 51, and I'll share that so you can see it. Yeah. And hopefully that comes up. There it is. Okay. I don't know whether you can see my mouse on that picture, but it is there. That white area. Yeah, there you go. That's better. There's a slash in the surface of the sun from about the middle bottom all the way up to the middle, or sorry, to the right edge of the equator. Pardon my voice today. I've got a frog like crazy for some reason. This slash is indicative of a number of things happening on the sun, thinning of the crust and more violent eruptions like we're just seeing here. That was a bit of a surprise. You can see the video if you go to the SDO site, the NASA SDO site. You can get the video of that for that day. And that's pretty cool because it does show that long filament eruption coming from about two-thirds of that valley up toward the Earth. If it had been more toward the equator, the effect would have been a lot greater. But I'm sure that there's radio transmission problems in shortwave and various other bands today and easing off toward the evening our time. Well, now. So later tonight, maybe around midnight, it might let off. Holly will tell me when she's listening to the AM radio that she listens to as we go to bed, because there's a lot of crackling. And in fact, we lost one station a couple of days ago entirely for a while, just static. So yes, you're right. There are things that do interfere with the transmission of radio waves in space and in and out of our atmosphere. One of the zones here above the Earth and in the South Atlantic is the South Atlantic anomaly, the magnetic anomaly there. It bends, charged particles in toward it. It affects computers on the space station when it gets into that area. It's an area you don't want to be transiting through if you're going up from the surface to the space station because of the intense radiation that leaks out of it from the ionosphere. These are just, some of the things that interfere with radio transmission. I've been reviewing a lot of this lately for my own records because I'm setting up a shortwave system here at the house. I've had the license for like 10 years, 11 years, and I've used it once a long time ago with a handheld device. But now then I'm looking at putting up a 40-meter band antenna and a desktop shortwave system so that we can communicate here in the United States with other states rather than having to do like I used to do, was bounce off of the repeater up here at Cheyenne Mountain.
Right.
We used to have to reach that to get out anywhere because we're in a kind of a bowl here for a direct line of sight transmission. But with this 40-meter one, I can almost reach Australia if I put a 1,000-watt amplifier on the antenna. That'd probably cook things around it, but anyway. the need to talk to Australia is not that great, so we're looking at the standard 100-watt systems. But I will try to get a parts list and photo of my system when I get it up so that people that want to form a communication like local news network for themselves about what's happening in their neck of the woods here can communicate during times of, natural emergencies or man-made emergencies. Oh, boy, I tell you, that thing down in Texas, that situation down there is absolutely amazing. I don't know why the power company didn't go ahead and harden their gas lines and their wind.
I have the answer for that. It's government regulations, okay, that impact the environment. It's all environmentally caused, okay? This is based on my research now. The power companies, plural, or at least one, and they wanted to increase the power to the residents because something similar happened up in New England area back, I think it was in mid-80s. And at any rate, I mean, what happened in Texas could have happened back in the mid-80s. But at that time, the regulations weren't as oppressive as they are today. And the power company had to get permission from the federal government in order to increase the, and I'm saying this improperly, I'm sure, but the power into the system, which would cause additional emissions, and they had to get emergency approval. Well, that took time, but the overseeing body said, okay, fine. And this is only part of it now, mind you, but it's a big part. Fine. But you can only go this much, not as much as you're asking. And the cost of all of that had to be shared, not had to be, was shared with a certain few consumers of the electric company. Now, that's not a complete or you know, extreme explanation, intense explanation, but that's part of it. So, you know, you want windmills, wind turbines, and all that stuff. Okay. That's what you want. You want a zero carbon footprint, or you want to put, governors on emissions. I understand that, but you're going to pay a price. And we saw the price of that, in my view anyway, Stan, and you could have something totally different. I don't know. But I think a lot of that was because of the oppressive regulations that were placed upon the power companies down there. That's just my, again, from my research. But again, that's not the only problem. But it was one of them. Sir?
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I think that's a valid argument. The government, under the pressure from various lobby groups in the petroleum industry, I'm sure, has put restrictions on a number of issues like this. If you look at it, we depend, the world, on several sources of energy generation for electricity. You know, for the petroleum industry, like for gas and oil, you know, like diesel, gasoline, all that kind of stuff. Then we have the wind turbine industry, which is flaky at best because winds aren't always constant. And we have solar cells, which is reasonable, but not energy efficient as it should be. It's like maybe 28% at best for the light that it collects, turning it into electricity. And of course, when it's dark, solar isn't working too well, except on batteries. And when those drain dry at night, then you have to wait for the sun, or if you have prolonged clouds from snow and bad weather, then your batteries go flat for your solar system. Excuse me. If you have propane heating, in your home, you have to have a truck come deliver it. If you have natural gas, okay, that gets pumped to you. But again, it's a limited resource, and it does produce heat into the environment. So what way could we have to generate power or to convert power into our electric system, A, without changing the planet's environmental system, like adding extra heat to it and, you know, byproducts of combustion? What thing could we have that would do that and do it 24 hours a day? Now, right now, the only thing that I know of that could do that is a Moray device, like T. Henry Moray invented in 1935-ish, and took to the patent office, and it worked. And they wouldn't give him a patent because he couldn't tell them where the energy came from. So years later, I did discover where the energy came from, and I filed a patent application, which was good, but the patent office said it couldn't possibly work. And I said, well, why not? And they said, well, you know, obviously your connection to the upper atmosphere with the device that you specified is just not going to work. You have to have some kind of a device to do that. You can't just have the air touching the antenna doing it. And of course, it was being reviewed by somebody who didn't have a clue what I was talking about, I'm sure. And we need that device now. Now, a couple of years, maybe, let's see, in 2018, a few years after I filed that and they denied the patent, they gave a patent to a crowd over in Georgia. As I was explaining to my patron channel last night, Sunday evening, they gave a patent to a crowd over in Georgia who even quoted my patent application as prior art that they based their circuits on, and they gave them a patent on this process to convert electricity out of the air. Now, the electricity isn't magically taken out of the air. It is taken from the solar wind hitting our outer atmosphere and vibrating it electrically. These charge particles put charge waves through the atmosphere, lots of them. And there's a central frequency around 3 megahertz, 2.5 to 3 megahertz that Dr. Moray was using when he built his system. And he had just about an 87-foot wire, you know, strung between two poles like I've got out the back of my house here. And he was able to tune that to a frequency that was kind of the average frequency at that time for the, at that moment, for all the vibrations coming from the solar wind hitting our atmosphere. Now, he did this at night and during the daytime, and the only difference was the power he was getting out of it, instead of being about 10 kilowatts, was about 7,500 kilowatts, which is plenty for a house. Anyway, he didn't know that it was coming from the sun and the solar wind impact, because at that time technology was not that good as far as, you know, tracking solar wind and being able to look at the various layers of the ionosphere and what it was doing to them. I'm just going to try to get my patent here up online and see if I can share it here. Oh, can I share it? Where's that share button? Okay. I'm going to try to share this, Eric. I don't know whether it will work, but hopefully it will. Tell me if you... Ah, good. You can see it. Okay. Now, this is from my patent application. Oh, gosh, 2005, 6, 8, somewhere back there. And in the picture you see here at the top, I don't know if you can see my... Can you see my... yes, you can. That little flimsy thing is my arrow. This is showing the atmosphere of the Earth symbolically at 12, 13, and 14, how it's being charged by the solar wind. And that comes from this drawing here, which shows the outer and inner Van Allen belts and the various layers of the atmosphere and how the solar wind impacts on them. And actually kind of, it's like a charged balloon around the Earth, and it causes that balloon to vibrate with all the various particles, you know, blah, 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 like that. And there's a mean frequency in the middle of that that changes with time of day, but it's a wide band. That means that you can take that energy out as high voltage from a stretched antenna down into a circuit that converts it to half of it to alternating current at high voltage that you then use Tesla step-down systems to convert it down to usable voltage and frequency for your house. That's one way. Another way is to take the high voltage coming off of that antenna. And by the way, what you do is let me just get back up there. You steal a half of the, you steal half of the wave that is on the antenna, which here is like a ball, but it's stretched like a wire back and forth, and it's vibrating, but you only want to take half of it. So you have a diode down here in the circuit at 10, which says, okay, I'll take half of that, and I'll let you keep half up on the antenna so it's charged with this invisible air balloon or field around it. And that invisible balloon of charge around your wire is what's feeling the compressions of the solar wind hitting the atmosphere. And those compressions are converted into electric pulse, which then resonates back and forth in AC into that wire. And so when the voltage gets up, you know, to a point where it'll arc over between 0.10 and, 0.9, when you see that, that's when you take, you know, half of the wave and put it into a resonant circuit here that's referenced to ground. And then through here, there's another way that you can, two ways, in fact, that you can take the power off of this resonance frequency here and turn it into, you know, household electricity or whatever you want. Now, part of the problems with this Wunderbar design that I did and the other guys did is that it produces high voltage down here in the conversion area. And by high voltage, I mean maybe 20, 22,000 volts. And that's AC in this case here. And that's at that frequency, it's probably not lethal, but it certainly would hurt a lot if you shorted it out. This is because we have this tuned Tesla-type circuit here. Now, the other patent, which was filed, I'll get this up here. Okay, this was filed here in some date here, October the 8th, 2014. And then they granted it till in 2018, I think, something like that, just 2 days before my birthday in February. I remember because I was frosted. That was a nasty birthday present. Now, what you see here is too small for you to get all the details of it. They've got an antenna like mine here in this part here. And then they've got, a tuned circuit and taking it off to some kind of a device to turn it into usable electricity at 60 cycles. And then they've got a Kickstarter here to start the antenna Whereas in mine, I used a spark gap. They have, a battery driving their spark gap. Now, what I did was compare the two circuits. And let me get you to that now then. Where do we get to share that? Okay. Stop sharing. And share screen. And this. Now, I performed this test here to see how many factors in our circuit are the same. Mine's on the left that they wouldn't grant a patent on. Theirs is on the right. And you can see that they have this antenna here, over here, this dome thing. The antenna can be a wire, a dome, or a ball. But you can see the arrow connecting are two common factors. They have a spark gap. I have a spark gap coming down to there. They have a coil. I've got the coil. They have a capacitor. I have a tuned capacitor here that goes over to there that they have as a fixed capacitor. Other than that, all they've added to it is this power converter. And they added a ground plane rather than a deep ground. Mine is just a deep ground, like 20, 30 feet deep. So anyway, it's odd that these cretins, they had looking at the patents down when I file, were saying this can't possibly work, whereas they now have a brighter fellow there on the patent office that says, oh, yeah, it can work. And they give these guys over in Georgia the patent. I'm happy they got the patent. At least the information is out there. But, it's one of life's little nasty things. You do all the work. You tell them where it's coming from, and they don't use it or don't let you use it. Hmm. However, what I'm doing here is sharing with people that are listening and others who've seen it on my website before, the concept so that better ways can be made to do it. Like, for instance, you could take and make a small electrostatic motor with things you can dig up around the house with aluminum foil and various other things. And you can copy a Franklin type motor, but make it more, efficient and better engineered for close tolerances. And you could take the high voltage coming off of that antenna, half of it coming down, and plug it into this electrostatic motor, which is grounded on one side, and the charge comes in the other that causes it to spin at high speed. The Japanese have developed something like that already, which they haven't released yet, but talked about it several years ago and had a video of it. And this device would just need a governor on it to govern the speed so that the frequency is matching 60 cycles a second for your home. If you use this kind of power, you can't use it with the mains power or with the generator, some other generator, because you can only use this source by itself because you have sine waves, phases. And if you hook it up to your power in your house and use generator power or mains power at the same time, if you don't match those phases between the two, it'll develop high voltage traveling nodes in your house and cause fire. So there are a number of issues with this, and with solar power, they have to do the same thing. They have a phase matcher in like the Schneider systems. But this is a much more sensible way because the vibrations we're taking are changing only where the lightning storms occur. It's funneling the charge energy down into an antenna or antennas wherever they're on the planet. And so in that area, it is increasing the charge motion and possibly lightning strikes to your system, which Tim and I had already looked at. That's how we developed the EMP shield you're talking about. So anyway, this type of energy generation for the planet is, in my opinion, the most efficient day and night and the least harmful on the environment of all the sources of energy that are now being used or proposed. In deep space, where you have craft that are traveling, modular nuclear reactors are probably, the best power source out there, which have been developed and used since 2006. They're small, a few kilotons, and you can make them bigger, but these things are about the size of a fat Volkswagen bus. It's a little bit skinnier than that. But anyway, this is my rant on what should be done, and it doesn't freeze in the winter.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't overheat. About the only thing I can think of is that you need to have a lightning arrester or an EMP shield so that the lightning strikes that try to hit your antenna, and they will try, because it lowers the resistance in the air around it to electron flow.
Wow. I mean, but this would be available to everyone, right? Or should be.
Yeah. Interesting enough, if you build this circuit yourself and start converting this energy, you become a threat to the power, Illuminati or whatever, the group that control power on the planet. Control of the flow of energy is absolute power, because every living thing on this planet depends on power, in the human civilization. Without power, everything stops, as we've seen down in Texas. So a power czar or czar corporation for the planet can say to this country or that city or whatever, don't play ball, no power to you today, and shut them off. They don't want you to be able to convert that power yourself, because you can be totally independent of the system. And it's one way, other than the economy, to control people.
Right. Wow.
I was so frosted when I saw this article about, in slide 49 about Biden saying that, oh, look, it's not as serious as you think down there in Texas. I'll declare a disaster for 77 of your 254 counties that are saying we need help. I mean, he's punishing Texas. Gosh. These guys.
Punishing Texas.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Hey, on a separate note, more of biology and viruses and stuff, look at slide 43.
All right.
Now, the text has, the story there, but the, let me get to the, and I have, if you go to the picture, you go to the picture there first, this shows the bats that are carrying this new disease, and the orange pictures on it, on that picture, show the fruit bat colonies and the countries with reported outbreaks of this new bat-borne, is a fruit bat and like a flying fox bat, that is 75 times more deadly than COVID. And it could be the next pandemic. Now, this is important, because there are several hundred other viruses floating around that are either natural or engineered that could be just as bad as Nipah, in between COVID-19 and Nipah. And I think the article may address how many that there are if you go down through it. But 1% of COVID-infected victims die, and something like 70% that get this Nipah virus die. So it's 70, it's between 40 and 75%, and so 40 and 75 times more deadly, not just making you sick, but deadly, than COVID-19. Now, you'll see in the thing that they call it the Nipah plague, and in the article, if you scan down toward halfway down in the article itself, you'll see the next pandemic. These are the global hotspots which could lead to the new disease emerging as man clashes with animals. Now, it shows a hotspot being Central South Africa, all of South America, particularly Venezuela and Brazil, most of the coastal areas of inhabited areas of Australia, all of Indonesia, tip of India near Ceylon, Korea and Vietnam and these areas over there, and at Mexico at our border coming in the United States. Now, they're all on, if you click on the text of that slide, Eric, you can scroll down and see this. These are where these outbreaks are, coming from animals will most likely occur. It's a serious disease, and it's one of several hundred, as they say in the article, that we're facing. I remember down on the farm in Australia, we had little fruit bats. They weren't quite as big as these, but they made a nest up in our barn. And when they were babies, I would go in there and take them, with gloves on, of course, but give them a pet. And thought, you guys are nice and furry and warm, but you're so ugly, poor things. But we did treat them as pets up there, and they'd go out and get insects and things like that. So they do control insect populations for us as well.
Yeah, I mean, just because you guys bring the Black Death, that's all right. You guys are still cute.
Yeah. Right. Rabies and all that kind of stuff. But they make good fertilizer in the caves. I mean,
But I mean, how likely, because I have the article up here, it would be the transmission to humans. How likely is that? Is that, I mean, don't you have to be, you know, making out with a bat almost? I mean.
No, not necessarily. It depends on what the concentration of bats are in a person's neighborhood. You know, in Indonesia, it's quite heavy. And you can get the occasional scratch from one of them, or because they come out at night and they're flocked together. And if you're in the way of that, it only takes one person getting bit or scratched and they've got it. And then they transmit it in its transmuted form to other humans. It's a very, very dangerous situation. I'm sorry it's these poor little fellows that are quite cuddly, but they can do a lot of damage. And the bigger ones, of course, are blood-sucking vampires. No, but anyway, you know, we've got to look out for these little guys. And I'm afraid that these are part of the pestilences that the Revelation of John tells will happen in this time, that it will kill a huge percentage of the human population. Now, whether it's COVID-19 or the Nipah virus we're talking about, or some other one that's, you know, is being engineered or developed or whatever. I mean, Nipah is just one of 260 known viruses with the potential to be an epidemic across the entire world.
Look, I'm not in favor of these biological labs, P4 labs, Wuhan lab, gain of function studies that, you know, too dangerous to be conducted over in America, so they subsidize it over in China. I'm not in favor of any of this. What are we doing messing around with this kind of stuff? I mean, under what, what's the reason? You can't, I mean.
Well, they give, the scientific community give valid reasons. It's like, you know, they're looking through rose-colored glasses. So they say, well, if we experiment with these viruses, we can do things like repair DNA for people and correct genetic problems or diseases that they've incurred by testing viruses that as splicer genes to get into, you know, the body and heal it. And, you know, they defended nuclear power. You know, it's going to be a great source of energy. But, oh, the downside of it is that unscrupulous humans can take these helpful things to humanity and turn them into warfare instruments and controlled instruments, you know, plagues and bombs and whatever. So the scientists, you know, they're developing it. They're saying, oh, look, here's a neat thing I've discovered, without thinking that, well, maybe this neat thing needs to be put back in the box because it is potentially so dangerous to the human condition with all the fighting that we have that it could destroy humanity. So I think that's probably the main reason that this stuff is developed, is because big pharma, you know, and biology and warfare departments pay these people to investigate this. And when they find something that can be used as warfare, then they take it, or something that can be patented and then issued to people at a price.
At a price.
It's sad. Yeah. But that's humanity in its current state.
And the vaccination market, of course, is just thriving, you know, big pharma. Okay, good. All right. Just curious.
Hey, on a kind of a fun thing, I guess, I think maybe fun, it may be indicative of something else. On slide 44, it's Vice President Pence named the Space Force, the members of it. He called them, and he wants you to call them the Guardians. Now, isn't that rather interesting? It's like looking at a Dell comic book, The Guardians, or Around the Planet, you know? And because I know that we have such high-tech stuff already out there. We have had since, oh gosh, the late 70s when I was in the program with Teller and his people. This kind of stuff lets me think that they're kind of preparing us for, this is our guardian space force against the aliens and off-world attack. But it's just not being said that way. It's just being called the Guardians. You know, not soldiers, you know, not space force men, but what are Guardians? And I just found it really interesting that they chose that word for them. We are the Guardians. Anyway,
words and, you know, words, language, very important. And that's that's an interesting choice of words. All right.
Yeah, and now in slide 40, if you look at the picture, click on the picture first. Slide 40. This is from about an hour, a little bit more, video that a guy did about explaining the ET question from a biblical point of view. I think he's from the Koinonia House group. I think he might be the director. And, you know, Chuck Missler used to be a member of that, and Mark Eastman. And when I was still down in Australia in the mid-90s, Mark Eastman rang me because of the book that he and Chuck were writing about UFOs, picked my brain for all this stuff, and wrote the book, but it didn't make enough waves. And so, you know, the traditional Christian community didn't put much faith in this argument about aliens and the great deception and, you know, Satan's following, one's driving, whatever. Now then, this year, Koinonia House, of course, Chuck Missler's gone on, but the guy that kind of replaced him there is Ron Matson, M-A-T-S-E-N. If you click on the text of that slide, it'll take you to the video, which is 1 hour and 8 minutes long. First part of it is Ron gives his credentials, et cetera, et cetera. And then he goes on and covers things that you and I, you know, most of us are familiar with, but for Christians that are not yet, you know, caught up to the fact that this might be fulfilling biblical prophecy, he discusses, you know, the ET question and the X-Files. That's, you know, the UFOs are out there. Days of the Nephilim, the Roswell incident. We've seen all this stuff ourselves. But, you know, he just does it in a manner that is very factual to prove to people, even from the Bible, that the chariots of fire even were, you know, the devices. Have you fallen?
Yeah.
If you've fallen over, what happened there?
What's that?
What's that noise? Do you hear that noise?
No, I'm sorry. We have all sorts of weird noises that leak into this transmission. I don't know. So.
Ah. Oh, that might be somebody in the government stomping their feet in anger that we're talking about it. I don't know.
It could very well be true, but capabilities of these ETs. I mean, this I had kind of quickly pre-program looked at some of this. Pretty interesting stuff. Hyperdimension or hyperspace string theory. A lot of information in this video. So it was just released on February 11th. Some 12 days ago. So check that out.
Yeah, well, Koinonia House, I mean, you know, they are really good translators and Bible students and scholars. And so, you know, they're like the Cadillac of a lot of the proof of this, you know, alien business relating to the Bible and biblical prophecy. So I trust them. And I looked at what they produced there and I thought, well, I can't argue with the thing they've said. I can certainly add a lot, but this is being done in a manner to not turn off a lot of potential Christian supporters of and realists about what the prophecy is talking about right now. Otherwise, if it was too woo-woo out there, you know, people would just say, oh, I don't believe that, and turn off. But he's developed it in a manner that will help skeptics about the UFO situation understand what really is happening according to biblical prophecy. And it'll make a lot more sense than what you're seeing and what you will be seeing shortly in UFO stuff. In fact, slide 48 today, American Airlines crew reportedly saw a cigar-shaped UFO yesterday, similar to the videos from 3 years ago from the Navy. They're reporting these things more and more now. I mean, it used to be that American or any pilots, any airline pilots, if they saw a UFO, I've talked to many of them down in Australia and been up in the cockpit with some of them, and they said, if we see anything out there, we never saw it. You know, otherwise we lose our job. And so they've been muzzled for years and years. And so here, American Airlines guys are saying, ah, we saw one, and or several, as the case may be. So you can see that they're easing the tension or the restriction, I guess, on airline pilots and employees that see these things to not give credibility in the past, but now give credibility so that the American people, the world, and for that matter, the population of the world can now say, ah, they're starting to tell the truth about, you know, the UFOs and to disclose it. A few other things have got to happen here reasonably soon.
By the way, I heard that cockpit transmission. I think that was a flight from Cincinnati to Phoenix or something. It landed without an incident. But I heard that cockpit transmission. It was published. I don't know which website. But, man, you know, he said, is there missile? Are there missiles up here? You know, but it was a very fast, cigar-shaped, elongated object that passed above them. And, yeah, it was pretty compelling, that transmission. So, yeah.
I haven't figured out yet how those cigar-shaped things, how the propulsion system works on that. It's obviously got to be something similar to the smaller craft that I worked on at Teller's group. But there we had, you know, in the early models, three pods under a saucer shape or three pods under a triangular shape. And the charge on these was used to tilt the craft in the direction you wanted to go before you pumped in a lot of energy and it disappeared like that. Those were like flat or triangular shaped things or saucer, flat saucers, that kind of stuff. And the propulsion was kind of underneath them. So where's underneath of this cigar shape? You know, is it on the poles? I haven't figured out how it works yet, but I'm sure it's something to do with electrogravitic, you know, propulsion, charge fields.
Makes sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? Why not? You know, I mentioned that we've at our company over at the EMP Show, we've had dealings with a few people of late. And one of them, if you go to slide 47, and also to the picture as well on slide 47, you'll see that this article is written by Tom Homan, former acting director of ICE, from January 30, 2017 to June 29, 2018.
I've interviewed Tom Homan, and let me tell you, he's a pretty imposing guy. I'd sit next to him, and I like Tom. I don't even call him Tom, Mr. Homan. Because this guy, met him, spoke with him, and, he ripped a few senators and congresspeople a new one a couple of times.
He's definitely not out of the game. You know, my partner and he had meetings as well in Washington at DHS over various things that are happening. And I do, appreciate and, think the man is a really good value as far as the Christian conservative movement. He's a fighter. He's a real fighter. I know the guy that trained him in Border Patrol. His trainer and I communicate, Holly and I communicate with him several times a day here. So, his trainer said he was really a super duper agent, a good man. And you've had the chance to meet him. I haven't, but my partner Tim has. So I'm sure the opinions of both of you is the same. He's such a good guy and coincidentally a very close friend of President Trump.
Yeah, I can see that. And, it's just to look at what's happening. Mr. Homan has always been 100% accurate. I mean, ICE is not going to have any power anymore. The, Immigration Customs Enforcement, they're going to be powerless based on what's going on with this, with the immigration. Bill that's being pushed through. It might end up in pieces, but it's happening. And whether it's that or executive action and order, it's happening. You're going to have this inflow. We got what 100 million or I'm sorry, not a million, not 100 million, a million projected illegals crossing coming up. It's just blowing my mind.
Read that article that Tom wrote there in slide 47. It says a lot of what you're saying plus some about the threat of this illegal immigration. We've said it before, you and I talking, that the allowing these illegals to come in from not just Mexico, Central America, they're coming in from the Middle East and Cuba, all of them coming there to South America and getting in through our Mexican border. By doing this, we are allowing a slow invasion of the United States to take place. And I wonder if we'll ever be able to recover from that. Even if things were to change in the White House rather drastically and suddenly, I don't know that we could totally undo the invasion that has come across our borders by bad administration, by traitors in the White House and in the Congress who have allowed this to happen. They probably zap me or disappear me, on media or whatever for saying this. But I really think that the people occupying the White House and much of our Congress and Senate are in the pay of the Chinese and are traitors. They've allowed Amen. their they're treasonous.
Yes.
I can't say it enough. And so someone has to do like in Jericho and realize these guys are not good for us and figure out a way to take them back out of the White House because they don't legally have the right to be there. They didn't win the election. It was fake. And, you know, that's another no-no that we're not supposed to say, I know. But
no, thank you for saying that, because in my view, Stan, we cannot move past the actions of November 3rd. Voter fraud, election fraud, it happened, it exists, and you don't need 10 million people to engage in this activity. You need to control the choke points of ballot counting. You need, I could talk all day on this, but Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook, and Priscilla Chan through CTCL infusing some $400 million of their money into changing the voting pattern or voting systems in Georgia and other states. Absolutely, in my view, criminal. The people who allowed this in the states, the people who allowed this in the federal government, the Supreme Court who refuses to even entertain this matter, the Republican, Democrat, it doesn't, I don't care. The rhinos, the elites in power, they need to be held accountable. There's not one inch that we could give. I don't want to hear any talk about 2022 or 2024 until we address everything about 2020. And by that, if we have to rip people off from behind that stupid wall that surrounds the Capitol, let's do it. And FBI, hey, you're listening. I know you are. You're watching. Come and get me. Sorry, Stan.
Yeah.
It just hacks me off.
Yeah. I mean, I again remind people that the military, when they take their oath to serve, they are to defend the United States and the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And we've got domestic enemies right now. The military should really have the authority to go clean house. And I don't know how that could happen in the current environment without a little bit of pain, but it's got to happen.
Let's inflict the pain because, you know, Stan, I was thinking about this too. And I haven't talked about this, but, you got Swalwell, who's on the Committee for Homeland Security. Bang, bang, fang, fang, up and down, you know, okay, a Chinese spy. All right.
Yep.
Me love you long time. And he's still getting classified information. That guy should be in shackles, in my view. All right. Yep. And waterboard that sucker. And what did you tell Fang Fang, you know, during your pillow talk? I want to know.
Yeah. It's time to take the gloves off now. I mean, really it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's my statement on that, but you're absolutely right. I'm right there with you. People should be ripped out of their offices and waterboarded. It's the FBI now.
Hello. No, look, we're busy. Can you arrest me next week?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Hold on just a second. Let me hit this phone. Hey? Okay, sorry about that. I thought Holly was going
to
grab that.
No, that's all right. We just want to check to see if you want to extend your car warranty, that's all. Or your.
Yeah, probably. We're getting a lot of those calls.
Yeah.
On slide 46, it's just reiterating what I've been telling people that the Hopi told us, Holly and I, back in 1996, I think it was, when we visited with the Hopi prophecy keepers. Come on, let's see if I can get that up. Okay. Iran, Russia, China. These are the three countries, and Iran wasn't mentioned just as a Middle East nation. But the Hopi said Russia, China, and a Middle East nation would form an alliance and would all invade the United States physically and take down the United States, destroying major cities and power. And then suddenly, for some reason, leave the United States, physically leave. And that only areas left for habitation would be on the eastern face of the Rocky Mountains. And maybe slightly on the western face anyway. So when I see this article here about, you know, from saying that the Iranians had a calculated response to when the Trump administration ordered Qasem Soleimani, you know, that general, to be killed because he was going to attack U.S. troops in Iraq. Since that time, Tehran has made strong relationships with Beijing and Moscow, and this wasn't kind of expected by anybody in our War Department, at least not that we know publicly. The result of all that is that they formed a consortium to attack the United States, both internally and externally. This is why this border intrusion stuff is so important, is because they have stopped Iranians before and other Middle Easterns coming across the border when the ICE had the authority to do it. So we know they've been slipping them into our country. And who knows if the weapons that these fifth columnists have been, you know, given in this country or will be given, who knows where they came from, because we don't check but about 2% of the insides of sea tainers that hit the West Coast. So the other 98% could have weapons of all kinds, and then you take that sea tainer and park it somewhere. Nobody knows where. And when the time comes, these fifth columnists, these agents of Iran, Russia, and China inside our country would disperse these weapons and start the attack from within the country, in addition to what comes on shore. It's amazing.
All for the want of a cheap product made in China, all for the want of cheap labor by both sides of the political aisle. And, so we sell away our security for wealth. That makes a lot of sense. And it goes back to what you said earlier, arrest them.
All right. Very quickly here, how much time we got left?
Got about, 3 minutes. Thank you, okay. Eric the Tech.
All right, we're on slide 41. This, if you click on the picture of it, you'll see Kevin Sorbo has produced this documentary. It's, you know, The Rise of the Climate Monarchy. And this is the second video he's produced on the climate, you know, lie, the climate control lie that they're telling us. And if you click on the text of it, it will take you to where you can view the précis of it, the trailer. And I did that, and I think that it's well worth people getting. I think you can get it online, but definitely you can buy a DVD or Blu-ray for about $15 to $17, it says here. Yeah, have a look at this, at the trailer. You'll see what I'm talking about. It's really quite interesting on this climate control business, you know, the global warming myth and things like that.
I'm going to check that out. That sounds like a really good, good documentary to check out. And I appreciate you putting that up there. That's Climate Hustle 2, The Rise of the Climate Monarchy.
Yep.
All right.
Fantastic. All right.
My brother, thank you so much. I get that frog out of your throat there, my man.
I'll try. I don't know what caused it. I've been drinking lemon juice here to try to get rid of it. But anyway.
I got to send you some new mugs and stuff. So you guys, you and Holly are fantastic. Folks, make sure empshield.com/Hagman or empshield.com, promo code Hagman. Make sure you do that. Also support Stan and Holly on Patreon. I can't think of a better way to get edumacated on things. Fantastic meetings that you have, and I appreciate that. Great products that you have in terms of knowledge. And yeah, so thank you for your time today.
All right, and ask your audience to pray for your program to stay on air.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of going to be threatened here.
Well, you know, hey, we'll do what we need to do, and we've got the greatest – I believe we have the greatest audience in the world. We share the audience, you know, and you know what it's like. So, but yeah. I'll tell you what, we're gonna win. We're not going to go quietly, as I mentioned earlier, into that good night. So God bless you, my friend.
God bless you. Good night.
Folks, that'll do it for us, for me, Eric the Tech, my man. He's the man. Today. You all right? He said, every day. He said, you all right? No, I'm not all right. You all right? You just don't look all right. You ain't sounding all right. All right, folks. HagmanReport.com. Subscribe to us on Rumble, You can actually comment on Rumble. HagmanStore.com. God bless every one of you. Have a great night.